in the second episode as for our as of yet unnamed podcast. I've got my co-host, Mistress Kai. We've got our next guest, Rebecca Love. I'm going to give both of these ladies the introduction that they deserve. My name is Jay. I'm the co-owner of Why Not. I've been in the business for 21 years, blah, 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 blah. So we're trying to figure out what to call this podcast. But first,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right? That sounds good, right?
How about adult blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just going to stick to stunt cocking. I'm going to leave you guys with the freaking ideas. All right. Now, so first of all, we've got Mistress Kai, who's going to be co-hosting this hot mess with me. Just go ahead, introduce yourself. You've been in the biz a long time. You were the dungeon queen of Exotica for years. You've been in this business now for 40 years? No, not quite 40 years.
You know, it's not that far off. I was thinking about it the other day because I technically got into some aspect of this industry, which I'll talk about in another time, while I was like my mid-teens, you know, and it's a whole story. So, you know, I'm a woman of a certain age now. So yeah, I've been at this a good pushing 35 years, different aspects. But where I'm at right now is BDSM and kink educator. I do help run the Exotica dungeon. We're, you know, of course, we're on hiatus because of the pandemic stuff. And I don't know. I don't want to talk about myself when we have this great guest here.
Yeah. So, well, you're still very much worth talking about. But yes, let's bring in our Skinemax B Queen of late night TV. She's been in the business now, I think, probably at least 25 years. And in addition, you've done podcasting. You've innovated all kinds of interesting, fun things with your cam shows. You're a content provider. You've done porn. You do karaoke. You've done so much cool stuff. And you always have something great to bring to the table. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Rebecca Love.
Damn, I've done a lot. You know why? Because I have ADD. I get bored and let's move on to the next thing. Some things take off, some things don't. And the Skinemax, I really had no control over. It just bugged me out.
Well, I love that. So, you know, what are some of the things? Let's just jump straight to the negatives right away, shall we? What are some things that you have done that have just completely not worked or fallen flat, or that you managed to learn from, I guess would be a better way of putting it, that you turned into something that worked well?
Woo. Well, that's like two questions, right? My negatives and my positives. My negatives, let's see. I did Jerky Girls, which I actually sold exotic jerky because my friend had a store, and that failed miserably, exotic jerky. let's see, what else? I know, right? What else has failed? Busty Boutique. I wanted to do a clothing line for busty women, and I had no passion in clothes or anything. I just wanted clothes to fit me. So that was another failure. I've had tons.
I mean, doing that is so tough. Clothes?
I didn't want to do clothes. I love the name Busty Boutique. And I was like, well, what goes with that? Oh, I've had lots of failures. And then some freaking, you know, stick to the wall and blossom. But so the ones that stuck is podcasting, because I absolutely love it. And it has the geeky side to the technology and learning new software and always trying new things. Gaming, I love it. Running my OnlyFans, love it because it uses OBS and I can game and stuff. So I guess, you know, the technical side is what I stick to.
That's great. I mean, you don't hear that a lot, or at least I don't.
I don't either.
Yeah, I took off my clothes because that was the easy route. And I loved acting because, you know, that's what I went to college for and stuff. Who knew you didn't need a degree? And then I realized you really have to do a lot of homework with acting. Like, you have to memorize the dialogue. It's just not show up. So my favorite part of acting is when it's improv. That's my favorite part of acting.
Now, you can almost see that immediately with you, that you're right on point, and I'm wondering, do you think the ADD contributes to that? Because I'm the same way. I have it, and I think Jay, I think you're ADD as well, right?
What did you say? So,
see, there you go.
It wasn't really a question, because we all know. But I was wondering, because somebody else I know that's really good at improv is also ADD, or maybe she's ADHD. So do you think that contributes to that or assists with that?
Yeah, I think just keeping it in the moment and stuff really helps with ADD, and you don't get lost. You don't get lost going down the road of, oh, gosh, see, I have ADD. I already lost my train of thought. Fuck it.
You know, I think this is why we get along so well, Rebecca, because you and me are so alike in so many ways, because I'm the same way. I'll get ahead of myself. I'll completely lose my train of thought. And I have a background in wait a minute. What would we say? I shit you not.
Are you serious?
I had a background in, now I can't think of the word of what it is. Not ensemble comedy, but, you know, improv. Thank you.
Yeah. Improv in the moment. Yeah. I don't know. It's just my mind works. Like I can have a whole sentence, a whole essay in my head. And when it comes out, I leave a few words out because I already heard it in my head. You don't need to hear it. But yes, you do, because you can't put the sentence together without those words.
You know, there are so many times that I'll be in a conversation and say I'm a little bit excited about what we're talking about. And my brain goes so fast that I actually stop in the sentence and go, I can't keep up with my brain. Like my mouth can't keep up with my brain. And I'm starting to learn, because I'm a late in life diagnosis, I'm starting to learn that's sort of a common trait. So what you two are describing, I'm seeing in myself. I can't keep up with my brain sometimes.
The one way I would say I'm self-diagnosed. It's not like I went to a doctor. It's just I see a lot of those traits. And I'm one of those people can't even watch a movie without, I have to do something else while I'm watching the movie.
Really? Like what? I mean, like knitting a sweater or eating something?
Well, that's a Jocelyn Stone. She's the one that crochets and shit. But yeah, like maybe doing something artsy and craftsy, or because my kitchen is kind of like my living room too. It's like one big space. So I'll turn on a movie and I'll start preparing dinner, or I'll do dishes, but I have to stay busy. I always have to stay busy. I can't sit still. Even in the movie theater, that's why I order so much food, because I got to stay busy feeding my face.
That's interesting.
You don't do that, Jay?
I have to focus. No, because if I don't focus completely and like listen to the words, like it'll go by me. I mean, I really have to pay attention. Otherwise, I can watch something or be in a conversation and like all of a sudden 5 minutes will pass by and I'll be like, holy shit. I did not retain one word that was just uttered over the
and
last
you have to 5 rewind?
Minutes. Yeah, I either have to rewind or I have to just smile and nod if it's an actual conversation I'm having with someone to let them think that I really was paying attention.
I do have days like that where I'm like, oh, great, this is going to be the day where I have to hyper-focus on everything. Yep, I do have days like that.
I have days like that where you actually have to sit and focus and concentrate, sure.
But I fidget. I remember.
That's a great word. Fidget. I fidget.
Fidget. Yeah. I don't know. Like people can't see what I'm doing. I want to show you guys. I do this with my hand. So if you can see, like I rub and I wish I had my remote control to show you guys. When I'm watching television, like I'm such a weirdo. I have the remote in my hand and I rub the buttons. I have a pattern that I rub, and that's partially, I guess, from having some OCD too. And I've rubbed all of the ink off of the buttons on my remote control. I did that in about six. Yeah, because I've always got to be fidgety, my hands, something. So that's when I'm really still. My hands are still fidgety. But then I'm doing what Rebecca does, where I'm always, if I'm doing this, I'm doing this as well.
I'm multitasking.
Right, multitasking.
At least you're doing something like that as opposed to, I don't know, ripping at your fingernails or pulling sections of hair out of your head or, I don't know, trying to extract a tooth.
She's just rubbing the numbers off the button, so now you don't know what it goes to.
I mean, seriously. You know, but I think another thing that, you know, might be something that's really big among actor types, improv types, because I went to college for acting as well, you know, and unfortunately, neither of you are like this, but you know those people that always have to be on 24/7.
Oh my God, they're exhausting.
Doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. Oh yeah, completely. I mean, it's fun to be on. It's fun to be the center of attention and to get people going. I've seen I've definitely seen you do that, Rebecca.
If I've been drinking, yeah, that fuels the fire. I'm ready. Let's do this.
Totally. In fact, yeah. You and I should do some improv scenes, you know? I mean, the whole yes and then keep adding more to it and then creating this whole scenario. But I think, you know, the reason why we're not super uber famous is because we know how to shut it off. And, you know, I think
that is true.
Particularly well enough adjusted. I mean, you have to be, some of the people that I know that were the most successful were so messed up.
Yes, but that's the thing. Like, I almost feel like you have to be a method actor and live it and stay that way 24/7 to have the it factor. And to me, that would be exhausting because I need to balance or I'm going to go crazy. I'll be in the asylum.
I would go bonkers. Like, I sincerely need, like, I'm okay with my own company. I'm that kind of person. I'm okay sitting alone the entire day. But I can turn it on. But when I do turn it on for, like, conventions and things like that, I have significant drop. So, like, after, say, the Exotica convention, from entertaining folks and constantly being on and flogging them and then being up for them so they have a great experience, I'm so drained after that. I'm capable of doing it, but it takes a lot out of me. So I guess I'm more introverted, and I have a friend that's an extrovert, and I don't know how he does it. He goes and goes and goes until he drops. Then he gets asleep, and the second he opens his eyes, he's back doing that again. I can't imagine that.
I'm an extrovert, but I need a couple days after a convention just to decompress and get back to normal.
I like an hour or two every day. I mean, I'll be going. And then, like, I don't know, 5 o'clock when things start winding down in the afternoon, I need to just disappear. It's just like, it's when people do like these late afternoon cocktail parties or something going on during that time where it's like, okay, now we should really be unwinding. It's like, I'm gone. I'm like 5 to 7 p.m. Just, I need to get the fuck out of there. I need to go through whatever business cards I collected. I need to wash the stink of the day off of me. I need to rest and make up for whatever sleep I did not get the night before, because that's when I'm going to do it. You know, after that, it's dinner, it's partying. It's like a whole night and just rinse and repeat.
You take a power nap in between?
I try to every single show because I only get 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night.
My problem is I can't go to sleep. I can't nap. I can't turn it off when I'm at a convention where I can actually close my eyes and doze. My mind is still racing.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to experience this again sometime soon, since it's been, oh, I don't know, a year and a half now. Speaking of, You have something, one of the successful things that you have put together, which I've had the pleasure of enjoying a few times, is Karaoke XXX. And you have that coming up in about a month and a half in Vegas.
Yeah, we've been on hiatus for a little over a year. Well, March 2020. So whenever that was. Well, I just said March 2020. So, yeah, we've been on hiatus. And once we opened up 100%, I'm like, we're going to do it for June. And I went over to my Twitter. Now, here's the story. I went over to my Twitter to like update everything. And my Karaoke XXX was gone. Like my 10,000 followers for them and gone. Just right. So I wrote Twitter and I'm like, hey, what happened? Because I didn't get like I was deactivated or anything. And they're like, it never existed.
So you never got it back and it was just history and that was it?
Well, I knew all I had to do was go in, put my email, just like the old days when you first sign up, and it was available and I grabbed it back. But the point was, how could it never existed when people have tagged for so many years on it?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So
all
now
the weird things going on Twitter lately. Was this recently, within the past month or so?
Well, it could have been before that. I just haven't checked in a while, but all I can say is we're 45 followers in now.
Well, I'll go follow you as soon as we're done.
Well, I hate how people are going to check to say, oh, I don't know if this is the official Karaoke XXX. It is.
Yeah. So you heard it here. But by then you'll hopefully be back at a few thousand followers, because
I don't have many followers. I think like maybe 15 or 16,000 followers, but I'll put it out there.
Well, I thank God people like to use the hashtag Karaoke XXX, so I could go out and I could look for all my old stuff. So use those hashtags, people.
You've heard it. Karaoke XXX, accept no other cheap imitations.
So how often are you doing that?
We only do it once a month in Vegas because we weren't like LA where you could do it every week and that's where the industry is. But here, because I always call it, this is our, you know, where like Florida, all the old people go to like retire and shit. Well, adult industry people go to Las Vegas and retire. So every month we celebrate, and it doesn't matter if you're an adult film star, you could be a cam model, you could be a fetish model, you could be a trans, whatever it is, as long as you are in the sex industry, phone operator, whatever, we try to celebrate. We always celebrate, and we try to give them, they're the guest of honor, so give them the love for the month.
Yeah.
No, I just think that's wonderful because, you know, we're so very marginalized as it is. So anything like this that can bring us together in good fellowship and good spirits, I love this so much. I wish I wasn't in Philadelphia because I would be there with you guys.
Go Eagles!
Yay, Eagles!
That's right. You like the Eagles. Yeah, it's funny because I did go to the last karaoke event. It was in Vegas. It was about a year and 3 months ago, I believe. And yeah, it was during the ABNs about a year. Yeah, it was a year and 3 months ago. Actually, did I go to the one before that? I went to the one a year before that as well, I believe. So I don't remember. It's honestly, time just, it gets so freaking blurry and crazy. But yeah, the thing that I like about you guys' event, and well, first of all, you know, I'm just all over the place here. I think I met you in LA. You're one of the people that moved from LA to Vegas, but you've been in Vegas for quite some time. I met you in LA probably close to 20 years ago during the old K-Sex days. How long have you been in Vegas now?
2005.
So not long after that. You were one of the first.
Maybe 2006. It was around that time, right in between there. Yeah. So I've been out here for a minute. And you know what's great about Vegas is everybody comes to visit you. The flights are cheap. And to get a flight out to go visit someone else, it's perfect. The only thing I miss is, you know, the ocean.
Yeah, but I mean, it's an hour. No, not even. It's like a 40-minute flight. You know, you could drive out there. Do you drive out there much back and forth?
I haven't driven since October because of my eyeballs. But eventually I'll get back on the road again.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Yeah, that's fine. I got PRK back in October and I didn't qualify for LASIK where they cut the flap, but PRK is safer and they reshape your eyeballs and stuff because I wore contacts and glasses and my eyes are now, I'm a vampire, light sensitive, and I can see when I'm in the, like behind the driver's the wheel, but I can't focus. Like it's the, and only during the day, because I tried to drive at night and I could, it's just a little scary for me, but it's just, I can't focus it. My eyes get pulled everywhere. Kind of like how my thoughts get pulled everywhere. My eyes get pulled everywhere and I can't, it's really weird. Can't explain it, but I guess I'm that 5% that, you know, you could fuck up. It's 95% safe, but I was that 5%.
Yeah, that 5%. Yeah, that sucks. Well,
it's getting better day by day. So what a couple months ago, I could hardly see and my eyes were always watering, and then it's getting better. It's just so slow.
Yeah. I mean, when do you think this whole ordeal is going to be over?
I got to go get zapped again because I'm not full 2020. So I have to go back under.
So after that occurs, everything should be pretty good.
Well, I thought that was going to be pretty good after I got my first treatment.
Right? Oh my goodness. This is scary.
It's very scary. But I'm so used to it because I've had plastic surgery where it's gone wrong before. So I'm just like, that's the risk you take when you want, cosmetic. Because I could have just stayed with my contacts and glasses. It was my choice.
You know, going back to Vegas, how many people would you say, because I mean, I want to come out there obviously soon. I mean, how many people would you say in the industry that want to be known that they're in the industry, I should say, because you got a lot of people there that really kind of do their own thing and are not social. I mean, would you say that there is literally, I don't know, 3,000, 5,000 people in the biz that are living out there now?
Wow. It's Vegas. I mean, there's so many of us, and I'm not talking about just adult film stars. I'm talking about a whole variety of us. It's Vegas. It's freaking Vegas. And we got legal hookers and stuff, not in Vegas, but at the brothels.
Yeah.
So, and of course we have illegal hookers, but
yes, well, you're going to get that everywhere.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So many people left LA. I mean, it's like,
it's so expensive. It's so expensive to live. I don't know. It's just, I was never a fan of LA anyway. Sorry, guys. Sorry, California. I was just never a fan. I was an East Coast girl and I had that East Coast attitude. But Vegas, you blend. Like, nobody gives a rat's ass. I have a pair of double D's. In fact, I look pretty small chested compared to some of my friends.
East Coast girl, where in the East Coast? Are you a Northeastern? I mean, you like the Eagles, so I'm starting to think, are you a Jersey girl?
I go to Jersey a lot. Jersey Shore in the summer and stuff because of Mr. Man, my significant other. So he's all Jersey. My mom, my aunt, they're all Jersey. But I grew up in upstate New York. So in the Adirondacks.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Up by Lake George. It's so beautiful, but locals are rednecks. So I grew up redneck.
We have a lot of those here. Excuse me, but we call them mill honkies because United States Steel is not so far from here. And they built an entire town just for the steel workers. So they're the same thing, but we call them mill honkies.
I never heard that word before.
Yeah, it's very specific to right here. But, you know, it's cookie cutter with the truck and the lift kits and the balls hanging from the back and the flannels and the gun rack.
Absolutely.
All those things. Yeah, we call them mill honkies. Actually, the mill honkies call themselves mill honkies. And, you know, that was probably 50, 60 years ago. And it just sort of stuck. But yeah, that's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah. It teaches you to be tough, too.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I have no problem defending, like we used to go to the rifle range and, you know, I can fish and hunt. I could probably live off the land if I needed to. I mean, I do have land in the Poconos and I've spent my summers in the woods, but it does teach you a whole skill set that you might not learn otherwise. And then it's a sort of, it's the kind of thing that comes in handy. Like if you know how to change a tire, things like that, you know, you don't really use it until you really need it, that type of stuff.
Right. I used to say where I'm from, the men are men and the women are men.
Right. Oh, that's so funny. I mean, my dad grew up not too terribly far from there. He's from upstate New York as well. But like all these things that you mentioned, he can't do any of them. I mean, it's, yeah, no, none. And so it's not like he can't do anything else. I mean, you know, the guy was a college vice president for the majority of his adult life.
So he was an intellectual.
Yes, very much so.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But yeah, definitely an intellectual. He's retired now. But, you know, in fact, yeah, I actually brought him out to an AVN one year. He came out one year with a friend of his just after he retired. And he had a blast. He had such a blast.
I love when our parents can just be cool about it and stuff. My parents came out here to Vegas and they were staying at the Wynn. And I told my dad, I said, if you're going to gamble at 3 o'clock in the morning, you might, and a girl hits on you, she might be a hooker. Might be a hooker. So he was gambling at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the next day he's like, oh, I'm so excited. I got to tell you, I had a hooker hit on me. I go, Dad, what were you playing? He goes, the penny slots. I go, oh God, was she?
Yeah, I mean, I tell people that the first time they've come out to Vegas, if you're in the slot machine area and it's late at night and somebody gives you eye contact, then they're looking for a sale. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what's going on.
And
hey,
there is nothing wrong with that. If you want companionship, by all means, you know, paying for it, you get straight to the point, you both get what you want.
That's right. Yeah. I'll never forget one of the first times I was out in Vegas and I had just won really big at the poker table. And I was at the bar and then I just got flanked immediately, flanked. And they both looked at me and they're like, you can have both of us for $300. Just flat out, just said it right there on the spot. Yeah.
Wow. That's a deal.
Did you go for it?
What? You have a deal of a century.
Didn't need to, didn't want to. And a plus, you know what? I'm just like, let me just buy you both a drink. And I did. And it was just like, you know, hey, cool. Now go find someone else. So, yeah, I mean, it was like I hadn't even the winnings. Like I had just fleeced some college kid in front of all of his friends by hitting a better hand. And
so you were riding on the high of that, right? That's why. So the sex thing was sort of secondary because you were already riding high.
Yeah. It's just like, you know what? Thanks. But hey, you know, don't waste your time unless you want to drink. Cool. All right.
Now that's cool. I have left my partner at the bar, just go to the bathroom, come back, and there was a hooker, you know, working him, which I was okay with. I was like, look, no big deal, but you know, we'll buy a drink.
You should have pretended that you were also one and undercut her and just go into a bidding war right there.
No.
I don't know if I have enough balls. It would take me a few more drinks to get there.
Oh, I'm sure. And then you would be like the queen of it, you know, be like, look, I'll just give you a reach around in the parking lot. $20, $18, $16.
Wow, you're a cheap hooker, $20. Oh,
yeah. We need to dress you up and put you out on the stroll.
Be lucky if I make $10 a pop.
You might get $10 go away.
I'd be bottomed every time, too.
Are you a bottom or a top?
Nah, I'm a top. You're harking back to the old days of porn and coffee, where both you and Thomas just totally piled on me, and it was...
Okay, you really got to choose your words better.
I know, right?
Funniest moment ever. It was so fucking great. So let me ask you this, a few other things here. So like, what are you more or less focusing on nowadays? And yeah, and while you're at it, you know, can you give our listeners just a brief history of how you got into the biz? Because you got in when you were very young.
Oh, let's see. I did the stereotypical thing. I started as a cocktail waitress. They didn't have enough dancers that night. It was a small club. I got up on stage and cleaned house. And then I was addicted to that. So I was like, fuck that. I'm going to be a dancer. And then I saw a feature and I'm like, oh, I want to be a feature. So I picked the feature's brain and stuff. I think it was Devin Michaels at the time. And she told me what I need to do then. I went and booked an interview with Playboy and Hustler, and Larry took me. Then I found an agent. And well, how I knew to do all these steps was I bought a book off Amazon when Amazon was losing money, and that's how long ago this was. Yeah, I should have bought stock then. I bought a book called How to Be a Porn Star. And I read the book and it had all the agencies and the do nots and the do's and how to go about it. So I had guidance before I even went out there and did all those steps. And then I got the agent. The agent got me movies and it was condoms only at the time. So it was Vivid Wicked, VCA. And then Skinamax came along because Nicole Sheridan, somebody didn't show up, and I lived right down the road from where they were shooting. So I showed up and did it, and then they took me on for all the Skinamax movies. Then I could finally feature, right? So I have my credits going, got on the road, started doing the feature and the networking. In the time I was featuring and stuff, I was doing phone, webcam. I also went to the brothels and worked there because I'm all about sex work and stuff. And I got poked and prodded with AIM back in the day when we used to do AIM and get tested. And then I got poked and prodded because it doesn't cross state lines, your paperwork. So poked and prodded for the brothels. And then I met Mr. Man and I had to compromise so I could do everything but, you know, taking a penis in my vagina and shit. So, and that was okay because I did all the stuff that I needed to do to get to where I am. And I started focusing. And let me tell you, that's a big pay cut. When you go from making a certain amount of money to cutting out all the adult work where it's the physical contact, woo! That was a tough time for a year or two trying to figure out. I was so lost. I was like, what am I going to do as Rebecca Love? When I went dickless. Wow. That's the term. Yeah. When I went dickless, I was like, all right, but it's a compromise. Relationships are a compromise. And if he can't handle it, I got to compromise. And I did. And I figured the fuck out. And I went back to the basics of learning what I loved. And that was technology. And then boom, I figured the fuck out. But I was lost for a minute going, what do you do now?
Yeah. So yeah. Like, so now, what do you primarily focus on? I mean, are you doing additional technical work outside of adult, or is it just that's kind of your focus within it?
Well, I do it for myself and stuff, but now I have girlfriends that hit me up and they're like, I need help with this. So I kind of guide them and then I can tell they have no interest. And then they hire me to like help them out and do certain things. But that's not really my goal. My goal is to do my own stuff and work on my own projects and dealing with my own podcast, Adult Film Star Network, because it's a network. And my event, karaoke, but my big moneymaker right now is OnlyFans. It was webcamming, but when my eyeballs went, I couldn't see the chat and stuff, so I couldn't take on new clients. But everybody that knew me on OnlyFans, they knew what I was going through. So I'm like, you know what? Once a week, I will do a live show there, and it helped out a lot. I didn't have to explain myself a million times, and then my revenue started going a lot on OnlyFans. And then I started figuring out a system with OnlyFans, and then it snowballed from there. So last year, figuring it the fuck out, it's my number one moneymaker.
Sure. I mean, do you have backup? Are you doing other platforms in addition to OnlyFans? Okay, good.
I have backups like Sex Panther, and I think I might want to do Fan Centro because it's kind of like what I'm looking for, but I'm always looking for the next best thing because everything runs in fads. So OnlyFans will last for a minute, and then I always say I got to catch the next train that's leaving the station. And sometimes I'm good at it, and sometimes I'm not. It's like diversifying your portfolio and catching the next best stock.
You know, I was wondering about that as I was listening to you talk. 2020 has saturated OnlyFans because we have this collective necessity. We've all been blindsided. We've all been financially impacted. And I think it really got saturated. So do you think now is like a transition time to be looking for that next thing that's coming down, you know, the tracks?
You always look for the next thing. It might even align with the thing you're on, but you should always look for the next thing that, like, for example, I did a podcast the other day about phone sex, and here I am blowing up verified call and all that. I'm editing the podcast and stuff, and then I get the letter that goes, verified call will be ending in a couple days. And I go, what? I just did a whole podcast of why I use verified call. And, you know, you can use Sex Panther and you can use that. So I had to do the transition over to Sex Panther, which I was kind of okay with because I was doing all my sexting over there anyway. But I liked the way Verify Call was ran because it was clean. It was for one thing, and it gave me a prompt of how long the phone call is going to be. So it kind of put me in that state of mind where I knew where the story was going to go with my customer.
Yeah, there's a lot of comfort in that. Yeah,
There is. But I had to adjust and switch over to Sex Panther. But then I realized a lot of people on Sex Panther were waiting for me to do the phone over there.
You know, I'm hearing a lot of great things about Sex Panther.
Yeah, I've been making money with them since it was just plain old sexting. And now there's a whole bunch of shit over there. And I'm like, it's kind of like OnlyFans, except, oh, no, it still has a live stream. It has a one-on-one feature with the video calls. I haven't used it yet, though.
No, I mean, one thing that people obviously need to be aware of is, you know, if any of these platforms decide that they want to go completely mainstream, or if there's more billing issues with collecting for MasterCard and Visa. I mean, just things to think about. I always tell people, don't put everything in one basket. Something could be great, and eventually it's going to end.
Everything ends.
One of the top lessons as a young person in business that you could learn is to diversify what you are doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing lasts forever, and you can't put all your eggs in one basket. Like, if something happened to OnlyFans tomorrow, I think I'm going to go with Fan Centro, or maybe I'll do Sex Panther and Fans. I don't know, but they're on the tray and I have content on there. I always tell people when something new comes out, get your name on it. Just at least go get it. Go throw your email address and your name, and it's just sitting on the back burner, and go from there. But if something happened to OnlyFans tomorrow, I would just go back to webcamming because now I can see the chat and I'll figure out the next step.
Well, on that note, I would kind of like to wind this down and say, if there's anything that you want to say to your fans and anybody listening out there, and also if you can let people know how they can find you and reach you.
Oh God, I'll just make it super simple. Go to RebeccaLove.com. I mean, my whole, everything's there. You don't need to know anything more. Anything that I'm doing is right at RebeccaLove.com.
RebeccaLove.com. And do you have any words of wisdom for anybody out there to close this off?
Don't do anything that you'll regret. Don't do anything that you regret, you know? So that means keep it clean on set. Do not drink, do not smoke. Don't have a clear mind when you're getting fucked.
Good advice, you know, not to mention there's legal ramifications behind that as well.
Well, if you need something to get you through the day to have a penis in your vagina or up your butt, then you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Well, I've usually got a penis in my hand, but then it's mine, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, that's cute, Sticky Keys.
I was waiting. I'm like, I know this man child is going to jump out here any second.
Oh, God. I'm so shameless.
Yeah, but we love you for being
here. Yeah. That's mutual.
I have a question for you. Did you read all those books behind you?
Fuck no.
Oh, they just... Are they real?
It's actually a wall. The whole thing slides sideways and it opens up into a little dungeon.
Oh, see, I got all excited. I was thinking, oh, he is kinky. I knew it.
So full of shit. Believe me, though, I would love for the day to happen where I can actually own a room that has a false wall. But I mean, you know, at the same time, that shit's just creepy. You don't want to be known as that person who has the wall that opens up this room.
Have you been to Jay's house? Have you been behind the wall?
Yeah, there's a few other people back there. They're not really saying much because they've been dead for the last several years. But hey, you know, it's really fucking cool.
It's really cool.
Oh, geez. Well, that's a good note to end things on, you know.
Thank
you.
It's good to end on laughter.
Yeah. So thank you, everyone, for joining us on the As of Yet to Be Named podcast, which we'll actually probably have one by the time this comes out. So I might need Thomas to cut that out. And so thank you. Thanks for joining us.
Rebecca Love,
thank you for having me. Thank you.